Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm still reeling from Ryan's story of getting stuck in an elevator. I was just asking him a million questions during the break as well.
Yeah, because now after the fact, it's like you could sort of laugh about it. That's not the right word, but it's like doesn't seem as awful as it was. You'd hear this, you hear a word like, oh, stuck in the elevator. Dude, during that 10 plus minutes when that orange weird ambient glow light and every horror movie starts that way and some dude's panicking.
Is losing his mind next to you.
Yeah.
What a harrowing, awful, sum of all fears experience. Rhino. And we learned a thing. His hand never shakes.
His hand never shakes.
He was calm. He made the phone call. He got it all sorted out. The other guy wouldn't have gotten you out of there. You'd still be in there with him screaming right now if it was up to him.
Slamming on the door.
Banging on doors. The help pops me. And again, he's a victim. It's terrible. I would have probably done the exact same thing. But screaming help as if someone's going to be like, oh, my bad, man, and just open the door for you. That is not how elevators get unstuck, I don't think.
Yeah, before we do this, anybody want to get out? Captain America could help.
Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. What a terrible thing. Congratulations. You won a pair of tickets to opening night for the Capitals a week from yesterday, 6 days away, October 8th, against Boston. All fans in attendance will receive a schedule magnet for tickets and the complete cap schedule. Visit thefandc.com, courtesy of the Washington Capitals. Let's go to our Beltway Blitz. We will start you off a little Major League Baseball playoffs. First, though, Chelsea Janes, Washington Post, joins us. Paul Toboni was introduced as the new president baseball ops for the Nats yesterday. What do you make of the hire, and what do you think this signifies, if anything, as far as the ownership group goes?
Yeah, I think respectfully to all involved, a surprisingly good hire at its, you know, at least on the surface. We all know that whether they spend or not will be the question, but I also think there's a chance that they can be sold on some investment up front in a minor league system that they're told will yield lower cost players if they invest now. So, you know, if he's able to convince them of that, you can worry about the free agent spending later, because that would be a machine that they could really, you know, use.
When will we know that it's different instead of just kind of the honeymoon period of lip service and otherwise? What will be kind of a good marker where we can look up after a certain amount of time, Chelsea, and go, you know what, maybe they have changed to kind of the way they used to do it here where they were committed to winning?
Yeah, I mean, I think Grant knows this too and probably knows a lot of the people involved. But to me, you might know right away with who Toboni brings with him, you know, because you got to pay people to come work for an organization and you got to pay good people, you know, so if he's going to want to bring people and go handpick guys and people with like driveline ties or whatever it is, I mean, they're going to have to pay those people probably more than they've been paying, you know, people that they were kind of basically building on a budget in that front office. So I think we might know right away, but we'll see.
As far as this offseason goes and a blueprint, I guess it's impossible to know just yet. But if you had to guess, do you think he comes in here and starts all over? You know, you trade a guy like a Gore or an Abrams or both or something for more young pieces and really reboot? Or do you think, I mean, the Reds just made the playoffs. I know it was a quick out, but they weren't good. They're basically a 500-ish team all year. If you're 500 with 2 weeks to go, you're going to be in a wild card race. That's not that big of an ask.
No, it's hard to know, right? He hasn't kind of been in the position of building the major league roster. One thing I do think is he will consider is it might be possible to kind of vet these guys for a year. I think certainly, you know kind of what you've got, but you don't know what you've got with the people that he's going to put in place, who he's going to put there presumably to help young players develop, right? So maybe you want to give some of those guys a run with them. Maybe you see what more you can get out of Gore before you trade him. I don't know. Maybe he's not thinking of it that way, but you know, the player development piece is fascinating to me, and it makes me wonder if we know exactly what they have in these young guys, you know, to be able to add to a roster, or if, you know, maybe a year of development, you start looking at some of them a little differently.
Chelsea, give me kind of a big picture, thinking about the playoffs now, theme of what we've seen so far. It's only been a couple wild card games. One is in a game three now, Cleveland and Detroit. But last year, it felt like it was the bullpen has finally taken over. There's more bullpen innings than starter innings. What theme has kind of emerged here through the early part of the wild card?
To me, it's just like pay starting pitching. You know, I think everyone who's looked at kind of how this field was set and what has happened since realizes the value of really good starting pitching, you know, and it's maybe it'll end up being the bullpens as people get tired, you know, we'll see. But to me, I think if there's a lesson to be learned this season, not just even in the last week or so, it's if you pay good starters, you know, it really improves your chances. And I think everyone's kind of overthought that a little bit in recent years.
You've been with Red Sox Yankees following this series in New York, right?
Yes.
So it's even through two, a decisive third game along with some others in Major League Baseball today. Detroit and Cleveland are playing right now. The Tigers lead 1-0 in a decisive third game. And then you got the Padres and the Cubs as well. So we got three winner-take-all games, which is really cool in this wild card round. Who do you like tonight, Red Sox, Yankees, and why?
You know, I think the Yankees are deeper. And I would just bet on talent when it comes down to one game like this. But two rookie starters, so really hard to say what you're going to get from either of them. I just think the Yankees lineup is deeper, has a better chance to get a big hit late, but their bullpen has also been really shaky. So who knows? I'd go Yankees, but it's close.
What's the best way to handle the layoff? Thinking of teams like you know, Seattle, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, just kind of hanging out and waiting for these, you know, knuckle drag, you know, bare knuckle boxing fights taking place.
You know, I think everyone's still trying to figure that out. It seems like a lot of teams have settled on scrimmages with fans in the stands. I think Seattle, Toronto, Phillies have done that. I actually talked to Dave Dombrowski, you know, of the Phillies about this, and he said no one really knows. You can't know, you know, if your team's going to be able to flip the switch or not. And I saw Bryce Harper say it's ridiculous that anyone thinks that there's a disadvantage to sitting this time of year. You know, you need to rest. It's always better to have the bye, but you can get caught flat-footed pretty easily, and it's interesting, I think, that everyone's kind of settled on these simulated games with fans because it seems like that's about as close as you can get to what the wild card teams are doing while you're sitting doing nothing.
Chelsea, thanks so much. Great info as always. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about the NFL. Thursday night football tonight, the San Francisco 49ers and Los Angeles Rams on FanDuel. This line's been up to 7.5. The Rams are now favored by. I think they're going to roll, so I totally get it. I know both teams are 3-1. This is the ultimate, not who you're playing, but when you're playing them situation.
Yep.
No starting quarterback Brock Purdy. All three of the best three receivers in the organization are not playing for San Francisco as well. So it's basically the Rams starters against a lot of the 49ers backups in this game.
This was the reason I didn't trust the 49ers to get to where everybody thought they were going to go. All the prognosticators, you know, had them with one of the highest win totals in the NFL. Biggest reason for that is their schedule, still on paper, is very, very easy compared to some of the other NFL teams. But I don't know how much that's going to matter if everybody's hurt all the time, which seems to be the lot in life of the San Francisco 49ers. But the big one tonight, if they could somehow escape with a road win, they would be in really, really good shape as kind of you go forward in that division. But that's a buzzsaw, man. You think about how good the NFC West is. Arizona's okay down at the bottom. We both think Seattle's very good. The Rams are outstanding. And, you know, maybe they should have dropped one last week to the Colts, but still, they had Philadelphia dead to rights. They're the same team that was up 20 on them. This is a really good division all of a sudden, and San Francisco can't afford to kind of get too far behind with some of these injuries biting them.
The NFC West with Seattle coming on, too, to your point, it's going to be competitive all year long. I think you had Seattle in your top five in our power rankings.
I did. I had them fifth.
I had a hard time keeping them out yesterday. I'm starting to buy into what they've got going. This is year two of a program. A lot like Washington, they went defensive-minded with a culture builder. Mike McDonald was like a younger version of Dan Quinn, and so far, it's worked really effectively. In fact, let's tap into the mind of Jarrett Bell of USA Today Sports on the NFL right now on the Blitz. What do you make of the Seahawks and their 3-1 start and what Mike McDonald's cooking up? They're starting to look like a legit operation.
Yeah, it really, I think it's one of the surprises of the NFL season through, you know, 30 days or what it's been. You know, the Seahawks and the Indianapolis Colts and Danny Dimes. But to your point about the Seahawks, everybody knew that Mike McDonald was you know, a defensive whiz. That's why he got the job. And so you expected that his defense would be good. And then, you know, you get the quarterback, and all of a sudden, yeah, they look like a team that can compete on any level. I thought when they went into Pittsburgh and beat the Steelers, that kind of opened my eyes that, hey, this may be a team to really reckon with. So it's still early in the season, but, yeah, the Seahawks are definitely nobody's pushover right now.
Jared, huge one this weekend in the AFCs. Buffalo's been on cruise control, beating up on some bad opponents. You know, I think they combined two wins on their schedule. One of them was because Miami just beat the Jets. But New England is trying to catch them, trying to sort of, you know, beat the bully here on the block. And a massive kind of statement game chance for them. And Buffalo, you know, who knows how much it'll affect them. They're still going to end up with double-digit wins and be really good. How do you see that?
Yeah, I think, you know, your point about Buffalo is well taken. They have some tougher games coming up later in the season, and, you know, they have to play the Chiefs again. And then I think, you know, they're one of these teams that you really can't judge until January, because they've been so good for so long, and they've got, you know, the great quarterback in Josh Allen. And so is this a trap game for them? Maybe, you know, because Mike Vrabel definitely is trying to put his mark on the Patriots, and it's been a bit up and down too for them a little bit. But I don't know if you're ready to say that the Patriots are going to knock them off, but that's why you play the games, right?
Jared Bell of USA Today is with us. So the Browns are hosting the Vikings. Dylan Gabriel makes his debut against Brian Flores, which feels like a nightmare scenario for a quarterback to get started against one of the great D coordinators in the league. But the whole quarterback situation in Cleveland's interesting to me. Like, I don't do celebrity backups, okay? I just refuse. I don't do Tebow. I don't do Shador. I don't play this game where anyone wants to talk to my third stringer and, you know, CNN wants to come in and talk to my quarterback. It's not happening. You're just not on my team. But I ask this. What did you make of his, like, mime thing in the locker room? And then also, what do you think of Dylan Gabriel, and how long might the leash be for him before, you know, the noise is going to be loud to give Shador a shot? Like, they would actually go in that direction.
Yeah. And then even like if something happens in the middle of the game, it's still Joe Flacco that has to go in the game, because Shador is technically the number three quarterback. So you can't play the number three guy until the first two can't play. And so that was the big question I had right off the bat when, and they answered it pretty quickly yesterday, that Shador was going to stay number three as opposed to moving up. So to your question about his dramatic response yesterday, I thought it was hilarious, because I'd not seen that one before in an NFL locker room. And so I gave him some points on, you know, on creativity. But, you know, even in not saying anything, it still went viral, correct? And so to your point about you don't want the third string quarterback to attract attention, I don't know if I agree with that a whole lot, because, you know, you're talking about the NFL and a professional spotlight, if you will. And so even with Tebow coming in, Grant, I remember a few years ago when Tebow was with the Patriots, and I had this interview with Bill Belichick, right? And it was training camp. And, you know, just to get Belichick to agree to a one-on-one is not automatic. So sometimes he'd give me the time of day, other times he wouldn't. But on this particular day, he says, okay, you can walk with me to practice, right? And so I'm walking with him to the practice field, which he had done with me before. So I kind of knew, you know, I'd have, you know, 5 or 10 minutes as the players were stretching and stuff. And the first thing I asked him, like a real idiot, it was about Tim Tebow and how he was going to manage all of the noise. And, you know, he said, that's it, I'm done. And I'm thinking he's joking. Okay. I'm like, okay, Bill. Okay. Well, here's what I really want to know about X. No, I'm done. I'm not doing this. He just shut me down.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Yeah.
That's one way to handle it.
So the lesson from, you know, an experienced journalist, okay, if you can have a question like that you know is going to tick off your interview subject, you save that for last. I know better. I know better than that. I knew better than that. And he set me down, and it's, you know, I've still worked it in the story somehow, just saying, you know, this is telling you how Bill Belichick feels about it. And so there's definitely, you know, that line of thinking when you come to how you manage a team, et cetera. And it's not going to go away with Shadur just in terms of people wondering about him because, you know, he came into the league with just such a high profile. So we're still kind of early, you know, on that timeline in terms of, you know, is he going to get on the field? Is he not? But the one takeaway thought I have about this whole thing with him is just the whole idea that you would tell some teams that you're not interested in them drafting you. And the reports have come out in the past, you know, week or so about the Baltimore Ravens had him on the phone or had his people on the phone, the Philadelphia Eagles. And then I know of another team that didn't have him on the phone on draft day, but as they were going through the interview process, they wanted to bring him in for, you know, one of those top 30 visits or some kind of, you know, one-on-one with him. And he refused. He says, because you guys have, you know, the quarterback that you have, I'm not interested in it. And I just think that's the wrong approach to take because you're trying to get it to the NFL. And, hey, injuries happen. You know, you had more quarterbacks start last year than in any year in the NFL, just in terms of the injuries that forced, you know, number two and number three quarterbacks to have to play. So that's always a factor. And, hey, if Shadur Sanders were with the Baltimore Ravens this week, who knows? We might be talking about him making his first start.
He could get Lamar a nod Jackson. With Lamar yeah. Hurt. Jarrett Bell, yeah. USA Today. Jarrett, you the man. Thank you.
It's buddy.
Great catching up.
All right. Appreciate it.
Always awesome. Jarrett Bell, you see why we love having him on. Let's keep it moving. Ryan Fowler, who worked with the Commanders and has got a lot of good content on them right now that we've seen on social, covers the college and pro games. Ryan, you were writing today, and I saw you tweeting about Frankie Louvu. What are you seeing from him? Seems like a much better last couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. I think bottom line, guys, you know, Frankie Louvu, a little bit for me, is a little bit of a square peg in a round hole right now. You know, this is a ball player where I know we talk a lot about analytics, guys. You know, it's a big analytical world in a lot of sports. Sometimes you just allow your best ball players to play football. And last year was a lot of freelancing around, playing wide nine, getting after it in the A and B gaps. But some of the time this year, where you're adding the big boys up front to clog up gaps in their ground game, Frankie Louvu is playing a little bit more inside of structure right now, where everything's trying to funnel to him and Bobby Wagner in the middle. And that's fine. But what you're allowing him not to do right now is just be at his best, right? Where he's allowing to play everywhere. He's allowed to get after the quarterback. He's allowed to attack the fringe areas, really, you know, light your hair on fire and play football. So again, I think it's such an analytical world. And right now with what Joe Witt's doing, where he wants a ton of structure within the front seven, I think when you look at what Frankie Louvu does best, it's allowing him to just play football at the end of the day. And when he's allowed to do that, as you saw last year, fellas, he looks like a defensive player of the year candidate. So it's a hell of a ball player. Just let him play ball at the end of the day.
What are you seeing from the secondary, and why is everyone so open all the time?
Yeah, I just think a lack of communication, guys, really on the back end. You know, it really said a lot last week. Look at the second half, and you got Trey Amos shadowing Drake London, right? It's not Marshawn Lattimore. It's not Mike Sanders still. And I know it's give and take with some of these guys, right? You look at Marshawn, where he is a press man corner. And what you look at with Joe Witt and Dan Quinn's scheme, it's where, you know, you can take some turnovers with it and some give up some chunk plays and create those splash plays on defense as well. But it's really a lack of communication right now. You know, whether it's a 3rd and 6 or a 3rd and 7, it was 8 minutes and 50 seconds on the clock in the fourth quarter. Commanders were down 7. You know, that defense couldn't get a stop on 3rd down with simple, simple concepts of what the Falcons were doing really at the 1st and 2nd level. So I just think right now, guys, it's a lack of communication. I mean, Marshawn Lattimore, you brought him in not with an asterisk next to his name. If the front four doesn't get home, he's not good. You need him to be really good on his third of the side of the field. And whether he's in man or he's in zone, just flat out has not been good enough right now.
Mikey Sanders still was excellent for most of last season. Looked like a budding star. He has struggled going back inside to the nickel this year. What have you seen there?
Yeah, when you're looking at him, first off with Mikey, I mean, he's an undersized player. I mean, I love the way he competes, you know, playing a guy above his weight class. We always love when small guys play big, hate when big guys play small. But when his ability right now inside, I mean, just the footwork in the eyes, guys, I feel like we're in the wrong place at times. You know, he did such a good job last year where you could play him inside, you could play him outside, whether he was 7 yards off or he was playing the contact window or even look at that Detroit game where he's playing trail technique and he picks off Jared Goff and stretching in front of Jameson Williams, just allowing him to just play freely on the outside and not be a robot at times. And I think I've seen that a little bit more here in 2025. So I think just on the back end specifically, and it does start with Mikey, because I think he's really trying to become one of the better young nickels in all of football, right alongside the Trent McDuffies of the world, if you will. I just want to see him just trust his eyes and his footwork and his fundamental coverage ability a little bit more as we move forward. And you know, the guys, these next 4 or 5 weeks where it doesn't get easier for the Burgundy Eagle.
What do you expect from Jaden Daniels coming off of injury?
I expect a big week for him. Guys, you look at what the Chargers do with Jesse Minter's defenses in the front seven. Now, this is a group to where they play a lot of soft defense in the front. They really rely on Jamari Caldwell and Tyre Tarte to get after it. Deion Henley in the middle is an athlete. He'll run around and hit you, not afraid to do so. But they'll play a lot of soft zone. And by doing that, Jaden's going to be able to create with his legs. Now, there's a question, right, with Cliff Kingsbury. Is he going to have the training wheels on him a little bit as he gets comfortable in the first 2-3 series of the ball game? But I think Jaden's going to have a big week. They're going to have some opportunities to target Dante or Tarheeb still downfield. I think he's going to have a good week this week, guys. I think he's going to get back to what he does best. That's target downfield, no matter who he has on the outside, and allow this Commanders group to get back to scoring 25-plus points a game.
Ryan, thank you for hopping aboard. We appreciate it. Good info.
Absolutely. Thanks, fellas.
You got it. There's Ryan Fowler, fan-sided, with us as part of our Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. We've talked a lot about the Washington defensive struggles. They've been pretty good on offense, and now they get Jaden Daniels back. Likely still no Terry McLaurin. Let's dive into the offensive side of the ball. Cliff Kingsbury just spoke with the media this afternoon. That's next on G&D.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We talked earlier about Joe Witt's press conference and the Washington defense. Let's turn our attention to the Commanders offense. You'll hear from Cliff Kingsbury coming up in just a bit. I want to start the offensive conversation with a slow beginning to the year for Zach Ertz. Now, it should be noted, Zach Ertz's numbers are almost identical right now to what they were last year. And as the season went on, interestingly at his age, he got better and better and better in his age 33 year. Now at 34 years old, on the verge of turning 35 this fall, the three-time Pro Bowler, former Super Bowl champ, future Hall of Famer, is kind of doing very similar to what he did last year. I think last year he had 15 catches. Right now he's got 14, but he's got a few more yards this year than he had last year, right at 149. He's on a pace, by the way, Danny, if you do the math, 149 divided by 4 times 17, 633 yards, which would be down a little bit, but roughly what he had last year. Similarly, the quick math on his catches, the pace that he's on, right around 59 catches, caught 66 balls. So for just a tick worse than last year, but I just thought at the end of last season, it seemed like every game it was 5 or 6 grabs, 60 or 70 yards, a touchdown. He was so important to their offense. I kind of thought they'd found something. NFC Championship game, he was the only thing that worked. It was 11 grabs and like 15 targets. Thought that would carry over. And so far, it's been more like 3-4 targets, 2 catches, 26 yards. I thought it was going to be a lot of like 5 for 57, 6 for 64. Just haven't seen it yet. It's coming, but it hasn't happened.
Yeah, I think that's a huge Debo effect. because a lot of the same, there's some overlap there in terms of where you would want them to have the football.
Maybe, right? But if you told me, or if I told you before the season, Terry's going to be less productive than normal and miss a game in the first four, wouldn't you have just assumed that there'd be a big Zach Ertz game?
And I think that's fair. I think you're right about that.
That's all I'm saying.
No, and it's a perfectly fair point. But I guess where I was going with that is, if everything was equal and you had all the options, him having the fader turned down slightly would make a lot of sense to me. But they haven't had all the options. McLaurin hasn't been himself and now has missed a game, will likely miss another. This, to me, feels like kind of the pacing, though, that you do for these older tight ends. You're not going full Kelsey there a couple of years ago where he's, you know, basically on a pitch count in regular season. Then when you really need it come January football time, postseason time, he gets his 10 targets and that's the best option. Down the stretch, that certainly was the case with Zach Ertz last year. I think especially kind of in the red zone. I mean, you even had that play against Atlanta when the announcer calls it. He's like, this is where they like to go to Zach Ertz. Jaden Daniels drops back. Zach Ertz, that box out, quick in, sort of slant from the slot kind of move, touchdown, Washington wins. That's kind of the thing I think is coming. So yeah, they haven't featured him as much. I don't know that you could do that for 17 weeks, though, for a guy that was basically out of football because of all the injuries.
My other observation on the offense would be that the young receivers have played pretty well and are ascending. McCaffrey with the 2 touchdowns the last 2 weeks. Jalen Lane last week on 3 targets, caught 2 balls. Also had a 30-plus yarder taken away via penalty. And remember, he got wide open on a deep shot behind everybody and was overthrown for an interception. Should have been a walk-in, pretty easy touchdown for him. So that could have been his first pretty huge game. I mean, imagine what we'd be saying if he went 4 for 85 with a score in that game, which is right there on the table.
Very different narrative. You're right.
Just a couple of good throws and Ben Sinnott not committing a penalty. But between those two guys, Tay Martin getting a chance, not necessarily a kid, but off of the practice squad, I think you got to like what you've seen. This was Cliff on Lane and McCaffrey and how they've been playing with elevated opportunities with no Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, just the opportunity to play. You know, I think we've seen it behind closed doors, just the work they put in, the improvement they've made. And then it's been cool to see when the lights come on. It's not been too big for them. They made plays and have competed at a high level. So I'm really proud of that group. When they've been asked to step up, they have.
Luke, when I've watched it, it's more, and I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but like, you ran the route and they found you because you were open and you caught the ball. So that's good. I'm happy about this. Lane has been more impressive to watch to me when you go back and look at it. In terms of, and it's just the physical, the twitchy stuff, the wiggle, like the routing people up, the running routes to get open. I've liked what I've seen from him, certainly on some of the comeback stuff this past week, coming back to the football a little bit more often. One of the problems for this offense against Atlanta, I'm not going to make this a season-long thing, but when they haven't been good, Green Bay as well, this has been a problem, has been third down offense. I think there's a direct correlation between that and not a lot of Zach Ertz.
Ertz, yeah.
Who is better on third down than that guy? When Ertz puts up numbies, it's because he's moving the chains on third down.
That 3rd and 6 turns into a first down because of him. Yeah,
totally.
Operating in there.
He's been missed a couple times. Jaden once. I can think of Mariota once, top of the head on open, you know, routes on third down. And maybe that keeps drives alive. And maybe the numbers are a little better because now you got an extra set of plays. And maybe he catches another ball or two as the drive continues. But this was Kingsbury on third down success and what it's meant for the team when they've been good at it and haven't been early this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, what it's all about. I think as a team thus far, we haven't been great at raising up together. You know, defense will get a stop. We'll go 3 and out. We'll score a touchdown. They'll give up a touchdown. Special teams will make a play. We won't convert. And so we just have to raise up together. And anytime that we're playing well on third down and staying on the field, it definitely helps the other two phases.
Here's a question for Cliff Kingsbury I want to hear his answer to next, and this is something I want to talk with you about more importantly. Should he call the game any differently with Daniels coming back from an injury if he's wearing a knee brace than as opposed to just 72 and sunny normal Jaden Daniels in week 5? Because I played the clip earlier. Logan Paulson says he watched the tape. The Chargers give up a lot to quarterbacks, and it's how they play their defense. They're basically willing to do that to take other things away, which is something a 2024 Commanders team would not only exploit, but just
be licking their chops.
I mean,
yeah,
they would chew you up and spit you out with Jaden Daniels running the football. I would think he's perfectly capable of doing that based on the video we've seen of him at practice and the fact that he's going to be back on the field. But if he is wearing a brace, which he was non-committal on yesterday, I do worry about him like getting down and sliding and some of those things because it does make it more awkward. You've seen guys over the years.
Oh, yeah.
Flacco, I remember, and some other guys, Mayfield, I think, have like their knee braces get caught in the ground and some weird things. So I want to hear what Cliff had to say about that. We'll do that as soon as we return. Grant and Danny with you, taking you up to 6:30 on a Thursday ahead of Thursday Night Football on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan, taking you up to 6:30 on this Thursday. The Caps play at home tonight. Preseason action, and Alex Ovechkin will be making his preseason home debut.
I'm glad about that. I was hoping it was just he's a veteran, let's ease him in, but I was a little nervous because you don't know anything about, not saying you don't know anything about hockey, but you don't know anything about hockey injuries. Because they're just like, yeah, it's a lower body. We're just going to see. And then he's going to wear that non-contact jersey for a while. I want to see Ovechkin play. That's all.
I'm headed to the game tonight. It'll be my first time at a Caps game since last postseason.
Where are you sitting, buddy?
I'm not sure yet, actually. I've got to check my ticket. I got to look at my ticket stubs.
How close to, say, like, the glass are you?
The glass that separates the ice from the seats?
Yeah.
I would hope to be very close.
Very close to that?
But I'm not really sure.
You don't know yet?
I have not looked. That was like Trumpian. You don't know yet? That was a weird voice.
I didn't mean to do that. It was like half Scooby, half Trump.
How would he have asked me?
So you're saying you don't know, but it's very clear you do know. He's lying. He's a liar. Grant Paulson is dishonest. You don't call him on it because you're nasty. Excuse me.
Did you feel like you were doing something?
No, Trump-y? I didn't even mean to. It sort of popped out. I didn't even mean it. We're just doing casual talking. It's a radio program. It's the best one. Best show.
I think I'm going to be pretty close to the glass, but I don't know. How could you ever know?
Well, you can see your ticket. Why don't you look at it? Does it say on the glass?
I can't look at it right now.
Oh, you're doing the show.
The middle of a radio show.
That's true.
But anyway, I'm going over there, fired up about that. We'll be good to get back amongst my people wearing their red tonight with the Capitals getting ready for their regular season debut next week. It's fun. It's a fun time.
It's fun.
Wizards about to get going here.
That's right.
Hockey is back. Major League Baseball playoffs. The Tigers just hit a solo home run to take a 2-1 lead in the sixth on the Guardians in a decisive game three.
Listen, I just real quick about the Wizards. I know they're going to be terrible again. I don't care about that.
They're going to be really terrible.
Just give me Trey Johnson.
Yeah, he's going to score a lot.
Run plays for Trey Johnson. Let Trey Johnson shoot the basketball. Don't do the thing where it's like, you got to earn your minutes at this level. You sort of do generally, not on this team. Give him the basketball, please.
Well, Toby, earlier today before the show, was like, if you guys were to get a Wizards jersey, what jersey would you get?
1, 2, 3, Trey Johnson.
Both of us at the exact same time with the lack of hesitation of only the surest person.
Yep.
We both just like, Trey Johnson?
Trey Johnson.
What, who else would you get? But this has been a tough debate for you. You're considering, I think, two jerseys, not one for some reason.
I was thinking of maybe getting another one because I need to update it. I don't think I want to wear a Bradley Beal jersey.
No, I understand why you would buy a Wizards jersey. I thought you were saying today you want to buy two Wizards jerseys.
No, I don't think I'll buy two.
Okay.
But for the record, Trey Johnson jersey's in the mail.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go. That's big, Tobes. So your current Commanders jersey of choice is Terry McLaurin.
Jaden, if he's playing.
You wear your Jaden over your Terry?
I do, yes.
But you wouldn't consider yourself a Jaden Mark to the extent that you're a Terry Mark.
Correct. But I wear my Jaden jersey.
Okay. So your jersey of choice is Daniels.
Yes.
For the Nationals, I think you're a James Wood jersey guy?
It kind of depends on what jersey they're wearing if I'm going to a game. If I don't have a navy current jersey, but if they're wearing red, I'm going to wear my red CJ. They're wearing the City Connects. I'm going to wear the City Connect Wood jersey. I don't want to line up.
Do you not have a Dylan Cruz?
I don't have a Cruzy yet.
I have an impression I want to do.
That feels like a miss by Toby there. Ooh, who's he doing? Who's he impersonating? Oh, let me see if I can figure this out. Wake up. Wake up, wherever you are.
It's just Toby. Who's Dylan Cruz? What's his deal?
Sleeping on Dylan Cruz.
Was Josh Harris asleep there or something? Sound a little Josh Harris-y.
Did it?
A little bit.
Josh Harris talking about Toby sleeping on Dylan Cruz. Go.
Does Toby know who Dylan Cruz is? You know, he's welcome in my owner's suite with Joel Embiid whenever he wants to be there. I can't do it, Josh Harris.
I think you can, respectfully. That wasn't bad, yeah.
All right, good.
I'm not too shabby.
Anyway, Toby, we need to get... When I think of the... what are we calling it? City Connects? The beautiful blue jersey, which are so much more amazing than anything else they wear and better than the grays from the past.
It's a bad take, but continue.
I think of Dylan Cruz wearing that jersey. That's a good-looking blue.
I think I'll get, at some point, either a navy or a white jersey of Dylan Cruz.
And then do you have a cap sweater?
Oh,
you have Dylan Strom.
Strom or an Ovi.
Eh. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. Ovi, I like Ovi.
Did you see
too.
He went to Ovi?
No. I like Ovi.
You Jersey hipster.
Why would
you
wear an Ovi jersey? Everybody has an Ovi sweater. Enough with an Ovi sweater.
Enough.
Can I get you an Ethan Frank? Can I offer you an Andrew Crystal? I mean, can I get you a Ryan Leonard? Nothing?
At some point, we'll probably get a little kid Leno jersey.
I think I'm going to get a jersey tonight. I think I'm going to personalize that sucker. And I think it's going to be a Protus, but not Alexi. Ilya.
The other Protus.
Little baby Protus.
Little pro. I mean,
what about Protus's little brother? That's a silly kid.
You Jersey hipster. You should just get Hendricks again.
I already have a Matt.
I'm
Hendricks.
Saying you should get another one. Just get an updated Matt Hendricks jersey.
I'm not going to get a jersey of a guy who hasn't been here in years.
But there's your hipster take right there. It's now you've now gone set such a high standard for your Jersey hipsterdom. Like your Nats jersey is Bo Porter from like 15 jerseys ago. I think that's where you have to start going. Like fourth liners from 10 years ago. Like that's where you need to be.
Oh, that's like what I graduated.
Yeah, that's your next level.
So the guys loved this. I told them earlier today, the most random jersey I have, and I'd have to find it because it's been so long. A, I haven't been able to fit into this thing since 1913. But it's also just a jersey I would never really wear. I was in high school. I was at like a Foot Locker, and for some reason I bought it. And I wore it all the time. A purple Phoenix Suns Amari Stoudemire. That's my most random jersey.
That's so silly.
I think those jerseys are great. Like Phoenix Suns purple.
They were great.
What's better than that?
I think of Cedric Ceballos winning dunk contests.
But I should find it and give it to you, Clary. I guarantee it would fit. You could wear it without sleeves at your pool. It's a good-looking jersey. That gets you mad props walking down the street. Dudes will come up to you in the bar and buy you a drink. You're rocking a purple Amari Stoudemire. Because Danny absolutely forgets how good a player he was.
Oh, my God.
I've heard Danny so many times talk about how Amari Stoudemire wasn't that good. I think that's one of your worst takes.
Infuriating. Infuriating. Lie is what you're telling. You're telling lies right now.
You said at his peak.
Stop it.
He was average. And I think that's ridiculous.
The most fun basketball you could ever have was watching them get shots up within 10 seconds.
60-win Phoenix every year in the regular season. You knew they had no chance in the playoffs.
That's right.
Was it the Spurs they would run into in like a half-court game?
Yes.
And they were just a boa constrictor, just taking the very life out of them, possession by possession.
And they were close series, but nobody remembers that. It was just they never got past it.
MVP Steve Nash.
Two times. Beat out Shaq.
I should have had a Steve Nash jersey.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been cool.
A Mavericks Nash jersey. My most random jersey is an Ish Smith jersey that I still have to pay off the car wash bet.
Yes.
I owe all you guys a sexy car wash in my Ish Smith jersey.
You do. That was the time that Danny kept wanting to give us a car wash for some reason. That
a
was
sexy car wash.
And we're like, none of us wanted it. None of us asked for
it. There was just no need for
Danny's
it to be sexy.
Like, let's just do a bet. If I walk out of the room right now, I'll give you a car wash in an Ish Smith jersey. And then he walked out of the room. We're
explain,
like, but we don't want it. Like, no. And he brings it up every 3 months.
Yeah, the bet was that, I can't remember his name, the Wizards coach, they're just going to keep him. And they were going to keep
Scott
the status
Brooks.
Quo. Thank you, Scott Brooks. They're going to keep Scott Brooks. And I was convinced of it. And I was wrong. And so I owe you guys a car wash and my Ish Smith jersey, one of my least favorite players. And my point to you guys then, and it's the same as the point now, you explain to me how I'm supposed to wash your cars in an Ish Smith jersey without making it sexy. You can't. It's a sexy car wash.
Yeah, I'll just keep not wanting that. So keep not paying that one off.
Just telling you, I'm ready. The soap bucket, the suds. Oh, is there dirt on your wheel, Mr. Paulson? It's sexy right away.
Wait, you're going to call me Mr. Paulson?
When I'm doing it, yeah.
Are you going to show a little midriff?
Listen, yes. It's a car wash.
What are you doing tomorrow at noon?
Listen. It might. Well, I know
we do need some new Instagram content for the station.
Now, we are at Public Bar tomorrow, so it may not be the best day.
No, it's a perfect time for it.
But one of the days.
Right outside a Public Bar.
Right there on the street?
Yeah, I'll just pull right up front, and you just do it right
there. You find me some suds in a bucket, and I'll get to work.
18th Street.
I'll get some attention.
Come out and watch Danny do a sexy car wash. That'll get the people moving. That's provocative.
Provocative.
By the way, we do have a field trip Friday in the city tomorrow. As Danny just told you, the only part of that story that's true is that we will be at Public Bar to do a radio program. There will be no cars being washed, but we'll be at Public Bar on 18th Street in Northwest. I don't know the D.C. neighborhoods. That's Northwest?
Yes, very much Northwest.
Feels Northwesty. Mm-hmm.
Connecticut and 18th.
So we'll be out there 2 to 6:30 tomorrow. Come on out, hang with us, watch playoff baseball, watch sport, watch us as we break down the NFL weekend ahead. Speaking of which, Cliff Kingsbury on how he'll call the game with Jaden Daniels back. Will he have to do anything differently? That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.